everyone, and welcome to another episode of K-Drama Convos. So, today, we are back with another 2023, because it barely went into 24, but we're back with another semi-recent drama, which we've been watching a lot of recent stuff lately, like recent within like you could say the past year.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're stuff that had like recently finished airing and stuff. You know, it's not, we don't usually, I would say a little while ago, our stuff was very mixed and it's still super mixed, but what?
Wow. 2023.
A lot. I think quite a few we've watched started in 23 and ended in 24. Quite a few of, because there's, you know, My Demon. This one technically ended in 24. Somdal, I think, was 23, but it was the end of 20. Yeah, so, yeah, it's been interesting. Dude, the production quality of these shows
is so different.
Insane. Like, I mean, we've watched a lot of, like, I'd say 2016 to
2020.
Yeah, we've seen a lot in there. And it is very interesting to see.
The stories are really good, but the production quality is,
different.
It's not terrible.
It depends on the show. That's what's really interesting, because, like, Goblin is way too good production quality for being 2016. Yeah. Like, what the heck is happening? Like, you know, it depends on the show, for sure. So, anyway, we're talking about Tell Me That You Love Me, which is a remake, the Korean version we're talking about, which is a remake of a 1995 Japanese drama, which I don't know if it was... I think it was based off of something. I looked it up one day. I was curious. But anyway, it is like a remake. So it's the same story. And we, this has been a running theme for us. This is not the whole reason we started this show. Part of it was that Shin Hyun Bin, which she was a resident and then fellow in Hostel Playlist, is the lead actress of the show. That slightly intrigued us to watch it. And it seemed to have an interesting and very different storyline we were interested in. So before we get into the nitty-gritty here, just a note before we start is that this is a melodrama through and through. I knew this. Apparently you somehow missed that. I don't know. I don't know what you thought it was, a romance?
You're like, I want to watch this. I want to watch this. I watched the trailer.
Tell you it was going to be more serious. Yeah, I did say that.
I didn't realize melodrama, though.
Well, I knew it was melodrama. Extent. Whatever. So we found out, one, we have seen virtually no melodramas that are set in modern day.
Right.
Or that are primarily a melodrama. Like, we've seen ones that have... They're like, melodrama is a subcategory, but not the main category.
Yeah.
And two, I think we might not be the best judges of a melodrama. So just keep that in mind.
That's not our first choice.
It's a little bit difficult because with a lot of other shows, we're able to point at other shows we've seen.
Yeah.
And be like, oh,
it's
this
hard
one.
To compare it to something when you haven't seen
exactly
something
so,
of the same,
you know, just
kind.
Keep that in mind as we're talking about this show. So we ended up having very mixed opinions on this show throughout most of it, but especially the second half. And we ended up, it's been a while since we've done this, but we have broken it into a pros and cons list. Now I will say there. Some pros aren't necessarily like, oh my gosh, this was fantastic, amazing, you know. Mm-hmm. They're just like...
positive.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. And some of the cons are a bit more in between, you know. So we'll explain, you know.
And we don't always agree on all of them either.
Like 99% we do. Mm-hmm. There's almost none that we don't agree on, actually. Not really. So, we'll continue. I'll start, I guess, if you want. I think we should have our notes in similar order here. So one of the biggest, like, I loved this character is Ki Hyun's character. What's his full name? The one who owned the bar. Hong Ki Hyun, who owned the bar. Oh my gosh, he was such an entertaining character, especially like visually.
Oh yeah, he was watch. Because he would speak audibly mm-hmm. and speak in sign at the same time. He was very animated and very mm-hmm. physical. Plus, his personality
was just like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he wasn't just animated because he was signing. He was extremely animated in his face.
Expressions, yeah.
And I think we immediately really grabbed onto his character and was like, oh my gosh, he just feels like this normal dude mm-hmm. who's, you know, living his life and just absolutely loved the scenes that he was in. They're always really, really interesting. And then another thing is how Ki Hyun and Jin Woo interacted was extremely interesting to see because it's hard. Jin Woo's character, which I think is kind of a point of his character, but it made it really difficult, is that he's extremely hard to read, mm-hmm. which it made it a bit difficult as a viewer to you just didn't ever know what he was thinking, you know, mm-hmm. which, like I said, I think it was somewhat of the point. But some of the time when he was with Ki Hyun, he seemed to, like, you know, like...
Actually smiled.
Seemed to, like, let down his yeah. wall a little bit, mm-hmm. which was just really nice to see. And also just really cool to see, like, two childhood friends, you know, just hanging out together. Yeah. It was really fun. Another one is Mo Eun's parents.
I especially liked... how they reacted to the things that she chose to do in her life mm-hmm. that were completely unexpected.
Yeah.
How she decided to quit her job and become an actress. That was hard for them at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but even more so, was when they met Jin Woo mm-hmm. and realized that he was deaf and their daughter's dating this man. And mm-hmm. they treated him, especially her mom, treated him with such kindness.
Yeah, she was so sweet.
She was. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And they didn't go after her and say, this is a bad idea, this is your future. And
I mean, they did, like, talk to her about it, but they didn't argue with her.
No, they didn't mm-hmm. tell her, they didn't make her think she was wrong. They... Mm-hmm. just wanted to make sure she thought it through.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was really, really interesting to see, like, at one point, I don't know if it was right after they'd met Jin Woo. I don't remember. But, like, you know, her mom started crying. And, you know, her husband's like, what the heck are you crying about? And it was like, oh, dude, I should have written this down. It was like almost like, how you want to live through her kids or something like that. And, like, you know, she wishes the best. Like, basically, her feelings were so mixed. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you can't make all the decisions for them. Right. And you can't live through them. They have to do it themselves. Like, it was mm-hmm. a lot of different things. I'm not explaining it very well. But to see the different sides to that was really, really interesting.
Especially since often... we've seen in K-dramas how the parents will criticize the decisions of mm-hmm, the kids mm-hmm. or try to control the decisions that they make. Right. That mm-hmm. was very refreshing.
Yeah, and I think they did a good balance of the parents didn't necessarily agree with mm-hmm. their decision, but they didn't stop their kids from making it.
Right.
Partly because they're, you know, obviously adults here. I can't remember... how old did Mo Eun turn? Like 30, 30-something in this yeah. show? Yeah. So she's not a kid, you mm-hmm. know, it's part of it. But, you know, that they didn't, like, you know, not agree with her choice and banish her out or anything like that. But they tried to support her and tried to see it through mm-hmm. with her. It was really interesting. But we still got to see the side of them being, like, worried about her if this was the right thing.
Right.
Stuff like that. Yeah. It was just very refreshing to see parents that were a little bit more hands-off which I think helped with their kids' age. Yeah. But it was just kind of nice to to see that for sure. Another thing is that this is something we've noticed with actually another show, which is it Silent or Silence? I can never
Silent.
Silent, which is a Japanese drama, which also has a deaf character as one of the main characters. Where the audio, I guess is what you call it, is extremely well done. Same with this show. You can, you know, obviously when they want you to, they you can hear their steps and if they're moving items around, or when they were writing in the sketchbook, you could hear the pencil moving or their clothes rustling when they were signing and stuff like that. Not that you don't hear that in other shows or anything, but this show in particular, they emphasized having a lot more silent scenes, as in there was either no background music or there was very, very quiet, which was really interesting. And I think they did it well, and it very much set the tone.
I especially liked the fact that when he pulled out his sketch pad to write down, you could hear the sound of the pencil on the paper.
It's those small things that it just, it partly makes you feel as the viewer so in that moment, because, you know, it's this very, like, it is a quiet moment because it, you know, it just is. And I think it immersed you even more as the viewer to be there. Then there's two songs I want to highlight, which are my favorite. One is Try Not to Cry by, okay, I don't even know how to say his name. Are you supposed to say his name 10 centimeters or 10 cm? I don't know. I really like this artist.
I think 10 centimeters, right?
But Try Not to Cry by him. And then Worried You Might Hear, which Kim Museum sings it, which is the song that Johan's character wrote. Listen to the whole thing, because in the show they don't play the whole thing, but it's really, really good. Those are my two highlight. Try Not to Cry, I actually heard before we even watched the show, because, you know, my Spotify suggested it because I knew the artist.
Right.
But those are my two highlight songs. But speaking of the hearing the pencil when they're writing, was when, you know, they had this between multiple characters. If they would write a note back and forth, they would show it on the screen.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't just show it on the screen. They would show it in their handwriting.
Yeah.
Which just worked so well.
It wasn't like a typewriter typed out or a computer typed out the
Exactly.
The text.
And I'm pretty sure it wasn't just a handwriting font. I remember comparing it the
it
one
It looked
episode.
Just like her handwriting.
I think they literally, like, scanned it and used it, which I think is just...
It's a neat touch.
It's such a cool touch. Yeah. And, man, that handwriting is really hard. Actual people's handwriting is really hard to read. Because I can, like, sound out Hangul, but hers was pretty easy. His was a lot harder to read. But that was just, yeah, just a really nice touch, too.
The other thing that I liked when they did is when the students... would talk. They would have the little character drawn.
That was really cute.
It was cute.
I don't know, but I felt like the character didn't, they didn't look that different from each other. I guess I didn't pay attention to it that much because I wasn't.
Often our subtitles were on top.
Yeah, I wasn't
them.
Reading the Korean there. Yeah. So I guess that, you know, but yeah, but speaking of the students,
I really enjoyed the students and
really
their
good.
Interactions with one another and with him, and they just brought life.
An energy
that was a little lacking in the rest of the show, honestly. And I liked how they used that to compare
His life.
Thank you. His life and as a child and... how he was so alone when he was a child and as a deaf student, and they have each other and they have a community.
Right. And they're very lucky that they have each other for this singular art class. I mean, that is...
Not only that, but they have a deaf instructor as well.
And that's probably something that I can imagine is very rare to find, mm-hmm. you know. And but yeah, just watching them interact was just so fun. And because they were, what, high school students for most of the show.
Yeah.
It was just, they were just so funny. Especially, mm-hmm. I think you really like the boy.
Yes. Yeah. He was, of yeah. the students, he was my favorite. Because mm-hmm. he was so energetic.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. out there. And it was like, Jinu and he were on opposite sides of the yeah, spectrum.
That's so true.
Because he was like, so expressive.
Yeah.
His mm-hmm. face and his signing and everything. And mm-hmm. Jinu.
Literally the opposite.
Literally
yeah.
the opposite.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, they were so funny.
But they got the two of them got along
yes!
so well.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And it wasn't just seeing the students interact with each other. Mm-hmm. It was also seeing them, you know, interact with Jinu. And then later their other hearing student who later joined the class. It was very interesting how they kept, you know, having that language barrier the opposite way.
Exactly.
Because typically, mm-hmm. you know, obviously these yep. deaf students would, you know, they would be the ones needing the
right.
translation.
They'd be in a classroom and they would need someone to mm-hmm. translate for
but
them.
But then it was the opposite yes. there, you know.
Yeah.
And that was, yeah, it was very interesting, adding a very different dynamic mm-hmm. into it. And one thing I just kind of wish we, not that the students didn't have a lot of screen time, I almost wish we saw more. Like, at one point, mind you, we don't know if it ever happened because we didn't see it. One of the students asked Jinu to buy them dinner or something.
Yes.
And we don't know if it happened, but we didn't see it. Like,
I was kind of disappointing not to see that.
I would have loved it if that actually did happen in the story, to see them partly outside the classroom. Would have mm-hmm. been very interesting.
That,
to
I
see
think,
them.
Would have also given us more of a glimpse into Jinu's character.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, you know, it'd be kind of interesting just to see, I guess you could say, the dynamic with a group that's all deaf
yes.
as well, like, outside of the classroom.
Yep.
Yeah. And also together, you mm-hmm. know, like, they're a group. Because we got that a little bit when it was at the end of the show when they were then college students mm-hmm. and they went out, they had dinner with Jinu, and they were all talking about this and that. I'm like, I wanted more of this.
Yeah.
You know, they
yeah.
weren't the main characters. Whoopsie. But they were, you know, I really wanted more of that. But it was still really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Next one I have is Johan. Why don't you talk mm-hmm. about Johan? I added this one in later.
Oh.
Just his character.
I really appreciated him. I was actually kind of sad that Johan and Moon didn't wind up together.
Mm-hmm.
Often the second male lead sometimes feels very pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't. He was such a good friend to her.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
Amazing friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he just didn't feel... I didn't pity him. Like, I sometimes
yeah.
feel pity for the poor dudes that are never going to get the girl.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I could see that, like, for instance, if the drama had ended with them together, I would have been satisfied with that. It wouldn't have been strange that the second male got the girl at all. But he was funny. And talented.
So funny.
And he just interacted with both Moon and her brother
mm-hmm.
really
oh
well.
Gosh. Those two were.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Him and the brother were
yes.
so funny.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But yeah. And again, I think he was a character that was pretty expressive.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, especially when he was on his own. When, like, he was mulling over what to text her or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, like, pacing around. Like, well, just, he felt so genuine, you know.
Yes, he did.
And that was so cool to see just how much he genuinely cared for Moon and stuff like that. It was just really, really cool. And I think just every scene he was in was just so, even if it wasn't a fun scene, even if it was more of a serious or sad scene. It was just so enjoyable to watch him act. Mm-hmm. It was really, really fun. And I can't decide if I could ever see them together. like a couple. I can't decide if I could see it or not, honestly.
I think it would take a lot for her to get there.
It would take a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot. Because what's different with Moon's brother and Jiyu, her roommate, I think Jiyu kind of liked him.
He liked her for a long time.
No. But I'm saying I think she almost kind of liked him without realizing it for a long time, in a way. But I don't think Moon has ever seen Johan like that.
No.
As far as we know.
But that happens a lot.
Oh, sure. Totally.
Friends.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. One thing I do wish we got to know a little bit more, because they very briefly mention it. At the beginning of the show, we saw that obviously Johan was very close with her parents, and they even had like a picture together and stuff. Not with her parents, with Johan and Moan. And then he mentioned way later in the show that it was during high school he lived with them, which is why he's so close. But I kind of wish we saw a flashback to that. It would have been really cool to see. And you don't need it long or anything like that, but it just would have been kind of fun.
Some of these things that we say, I wish we could have seen, they weren't necessary for the plot.
Yeah.
They're just the types of scenes that we enjoy.
Yeah, or they give us even more background or context with the relationship between these characters and stuff like that. But yes, Johan, super fun. Loved his character. So the little kid who was the neighbor of Jinu. So, I'm sorry, I just smacked my mic. I can't remember what his name was, but oh my gosh, this little kid. Unfortunately, they had almost no scenes together. Mm-hmm. Like, it was literally a handful. But the scenes they did was so fascinating. Mm-hmm. Seeing, you know, Jinu, who I'm assuming is in his 30s, 40s, somewhere in there. Like, probably later 30s. And this little, elementary kid, I guess? I mean,
5, 6, maybe?
I don't think he was kinder. Like, first, second grade?
He could write
and read.
So probably
first or second. Yeah. Was so interesting because they actually came from very different situations, stuff like that. But the biggest scene that I think was just so interesting was how they kind of talked about each of their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And the little kid mentioned that, you know, he lives with his grandmother. I don't think he even knew where his father was,
His dad was working somewhere.
Yeah. And then Hao Junyu said he didn't have any other family. It was very interesting scene just to see this little kid just genuinely asking questions and just very, you know, be like, oh yeah, they had a divorce. I don't live with them.
Right.
Like just, it's very straight up, you know. Obviously it's something that, you know, they're probably in some way still processing. Like, they know what that means as a kid, but, like, you know, that kind of thing.
And the fact that he looked at Jinu with no preconceived, you know, he didn't have the glasses of he's different.
Yeah.
He's not the same. He's not as good as me. That his grandmother obviously
had. He was very much probably an older generation.
And I like the fact that that did not influence this little boy.
Yeah.
One bit. And Jinu was just another guy. He was just another interesting person.
Yeah.
Who had a really cute cat.
Oh my gosh, I love that. But I really do wish that they had done just a little bit more with the two, just because I think it was such an interesting and different dynamic that I think you saw a slightly different side to Jinu because he had to explain. He didn't explain a ton of stuff, but he had to answer this kid's questions in a way a kid would understand.
Yep.
And that was just such an interesting dynamic. And this little kid was super cute.
Yeah.
I loved I love this little kid. It was really fun. So another thing is Ki-hyun and his wife. They're already really cute together. And then also the four hanging out. So Ki-hyun, his wife, Mo-eon, and Jin-woo, which we only had maybe two or three scenes of. But it was very interesting seeing the dynamic between two hearing, two deaf, but mm-hmm. only three of them were, like, completely fluent in sign language.
Right.
Mo-eon was, like, maybe conversational. Like, she still knew mm-hmm. sign. But it was very interesting seeing how, like, sometimes they wouldn't translate, sometimes they would translate for each other. And it was just so cool seeing how the four of them interacted.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think they did this very purposely, showing that they had those four, who all four of them could communicate through sign.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Mo-eon needed help, then Ki-hyun could help her. And then they had it where Mo-eon, Jin-woo, her roommate and her brother went out.
Yeah.
That was
so awkward.
It was so awkward. And I think it did a really good job of showing just, yes, how hard and how awkward it can be.
Yeah.
But then it also showed the other side of, like, if you have people you can communicate, mm-hmm. how just, you know, they're just hanging out.
Right.
That's what it is. And it was just interesting. I think they had one particular episode where, I don't know if it was in the same episode or one than the other. Like, I was, like, immediately, like, compared the two.
Mm-hmm.
It was very interesting.
Yeah.
So the last pro that I have
mm-hmm.
are some quotes.
Right.
So I'd say overall, this show had its very interesting, like, they call it introspective sometimes.
Yeah.
A lot of times it was narrated by, like, specific characters. You had two, if you want to start mm-hmm. off with.
No, just the one.
Oh, you just one.
Just the one. This is, Jin-woo.
Mm-hmm.
You said, "I see sound with my eyes. Whenever I blink, I'm disconnected for a moment. But it was like she was telling me I could close my eyes and she'd be there."
This was a bit of context. This was when she was singing.
Yeah.
And he was feeling it.
Feeling
you could feel the vibrations
yeah.
in mm-hmm. your vocal cords. So, so interesting.
Yeah.
And
no, probably no one had ever done that for him before.
Mm, mm-hmm, yeah. And then the other one I had is, this is when Jin-woo he's reminiscing about his childhood. And this is when he had gone deaf. And how, you know, there was words that he didn't hear that would hurt his friends. But the sound of the world that was told to him through Ki-hyun's heart was always a degree warmer.
Ugh.
Was so, you know, because Ki-hyun had to translate for him how he always, you know, and they showed an example of something happening in class and Ki-hyun kind of told Jin-woo, like, oh, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
but it was the degree, it told through his heart was always a degree warmer. It was so,
yeah.
It showed
yeah. and
their,
just Ki-hyun's heart to protect his friend and take care
yes.
of him.
It showed their friendship yeah. how solid it was even mm-hmm. back then.
Yeah.
You know, but
some and that was a huge brave thing for Ki-hyun. Because it was probably very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And they were probably picked on and teased and bullied
yeah, I wouldn't be
surprised. And all sorts of things. But he always stuck by him.
Yeah. And that's just so cool
mm-hmm.
to see. I think it might also be partly because, you know, the two grew up together and they also have similar stories or
yeah,
background. Like,
yeah.
you know, I think that why they connected and stuck together mm-hmm. is just really cool. So now we're moving on to the cons list, you mm-hmm. could say. So this is a bit of a mixture. Some are general, some are specific. Kind of depends. Some are kind of a gray area. I don't know. But I will say overall, it was around either episode 8 to 10-ish that we started to notice it slowing down. And that's one thing I want to say was about the pacing.
The pacing. The
yeah.
pacing at the beginning of the show, I noted that it's the pacing of life as a deaf person is not going to be the same as the pacing of life.
Well, you could say for Jin-woo's character.
For Jin-woo's character. Yes,
yes.
yes. Mm-hmm. And so the pacing of the show was appropriately slower.
Mm.
And I thought it was well chosen to be that that pace. And that was fine at the beginning of the show. But eventually, it started to make the show drag.
I will say, I mean, I don't think it mattered that Janu was deaf or anything. It was just, you know, his life, you know, was just different. I don't think the pacing necessarily changed too much throughout the show.
No.
I think it's as a viewer, at least for us in particular, it started to feel slower, which just made it a little rough sometimes. Like, okay, we're getting there. Like, we're, you know, I think it was like the point where we had like three or four left. We're like, you especially, we're just like, I'm just ready for this to be done.
I was by at episode 13.
Like end of episode 13, I think.
I remember saying if we weren't doing this for a podcast,
you would have dropped it.
I would not finish the show. I was done.
Yeah, and I think that has a lot to do with it being a melodrama.
Yeah.
And in some ways, I do think they could have cut like 2 hours worth of time. And you wouldn't really, like, I think they could have, but, you know, they didn't. That's okay. And that could be especially, I think, is our perception of it. You know, I don't need an action pack. That's not what I'm asking for. But for us in particular, we don't typically gravitate towards that.
Yeah.
So this one's quite a bit. Is Seo Gyeong's character. So she's the friend from college. I just never understood her character. I didn't get it. Ever. Because there were some scenes where she genuinely, you know, seemed glad that she had reconnected with Janu. But then there were other times where she didn't and was kind of mixed feelings about it and wasn't sure about it.
And then there were some times where it seemed like she wanted to get together with him again. But then there were other times when she just wanted to really support him in his career.
Yeah. Which I think a lot of it was that her as a character was literally actively processing that.
Yeah.
And it was kind of complicated. She was struggling with
that herself.
But then also as a viewer, it was like, I don't know what angle or side, not side that she's on, but kind of. It was almost as if I never trusted her, which is not, I didn't trust her. Like, I don't know what to trust her with, but I just didn't, I never knew what angle she was coming from, which I think sometimes it was that she didn't even know herself.
And I think part of it is we didn't get a really clear picture of what happened.
This is my next
Why
point.
Did she leave?
Yes. And so I think it was a very big hindrance that it took us so long to know the full backstory. We knew bits and pieces pretty early on, and we knew how, you know, they were involved in it, but it took till, I think it was episode 15, until we got the one, there was one tiny little piece left of the puzzle at that point. It was very small, but it was pretty important. But I understand from a writer and producing perspective that you want to have something to have your viewers coming back for, and that was partly, in this show, I think, the backstory. And you know, every show does this. You almost never have them reveal the full backstory.
Right.
And that's fine. I'm perfectly fine with that. But I think with this show, with Seo Gyeong, and honestly, especially with Kwang Do-hun's character, the other guy from college, I literally didn't understand their character because I didn't have the context.
Exactly. We couldn't understand motivation. We couldn't understand perspective. We didn't know them.
Right.
So they were confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I don't think Seo Gyeong's character was bad necessarily. She was just a very tricky character. I didn't quite understand. But I do like one of the very final scenes with Seo Gyeong and Janu.
The best scene between the two.
Yeah, it was like the best scene between them. How they wrapped the two characters up. Basically, it was them agreeing to put the past behind them.
Yep.
you know, when was like let bygones be bygones or whatever. Yeah. And I actually liked how they showed that conversation. They showed the whole thing and how both of these characters came to this conclusion. It made sense. Like, I liked that. Mm-hmm. That made sense for the characters and also, like, for the careers going forward. They're yeah. probably going to be working with each other potentially, you know. And I think that wrap-up was good. But a lot of their other scenes, I just couldn't quite get what point So-kyung was, like, talking about. As in, like, what was her end goal from this conversation? Mm-hmm. I most of the time just didn't understand.
Yeah.
But whatever.
And then there was Do-hyun.
Yeah, Kwang Do-hyun, which is the other guy from college. So his character just sucked. Like, that's just straight up. But yeah. I think that was kind of the point of his character, was that he kind of sucked. I think that was a bit of the point of his character.
I just don't feel like he added anything to the story.
I don't think he added tension.
No.
I think, you know what? So-kyung successfully added tension between Jinwoo and Mohwan. I'll give her that. Mm-hmm. Like, some dramas will introduce a character like that to bring tension within a relationship, and it just doesn't work.
Right.
I feel like that's what happened to Kwang Do-hun's character a little bit, is that he was supposed to bring this tension or I don't even know what, but it just didn't work.
And the way his character just...
He was just constantly mad. It yeah. got old.
And then in the end, he was like, no, I'm going to hate you.
Oh,
I'm going to just keep hating you because that helps, basically helps my painting career.
I feel like that was such
But he didn't really mean it.
Yeah, it was a read between the lines moment.
Exactly, exactly.
So, this is, again, I think it was really difficult because we didn't know till 14 or 15, I want to say, how the actual heck his character
right. they
was
made
involved.
It seemed like he was the stalker.
Yeah, but he wasn't
at the
all.
Stalker at all.
He was actually a friend of theirs. Like,
but you could have done the entire story with him in the flashbacks, but not have him in the present.
Probably.
There was really no need for him in the present.
Extremely.
He added zero.
Yeah.
And story.
Yeah, and it just got tired. I got really tired. Thankfully, he wasn't in a lot of scenes,
yeah.
but I got very tired of him just constantly being mad and just mm-hmm. constantly, partly it was as an audience, but like constantly blaming Jinwoo and So-kyung for something that we don't know what happened. We
right.
didn't have the context at mm-hmm. the time.
Yeah.
And it's like his entire personality was based around being resentful about the
yes,
past was
yes.
his whole character.
Yeah.
It just got tiring to see, and just,
yeah.
it was annoying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once we got the backstory, at least I knew where he was coming from in the first place, but it was just...
It didn't justify
his
perspective
that
whatsoever.
That is not what I'm saying, but
then you're like...
at least I know.
Okay, that's kind of why he's
what
mad.
He's even.
Okay.
At least I understand what he's even talking about.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know.
Right. So. But waiting until episode 15
it was
to explain
yeah,
his
15
character.
Or 14. It was a little bit annoying,
much.
And I think was a little late.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was when So-kyung found out that Jinwoo had continued to look for her back in college. Apparently she didn't. I thought she would have known that back in college, but I guess she didn't. Whatever. How her character didn't find that out to the very end, I think made sense for the character, like for the progression, but for the audience, not that part, but more the context of the stalker, it didn't work. I don't know. But again, like, if you'd reveal that earlier, would you need to have it a shorter show? I don't know. So, now I'm going to talk about just the general with Mohwan and Jinwoo's relationship. So, especially in the beginning of the show, I'd say first 8 episodes, I genuinely enjoyed seeing them just kind of hanging out together. I think it might have been partly because it's a little difficult for them to go on a quote-unquote normal date, you know, like the movie theater or something like that, you know, that kind of thing. But I like that, you know, probably because they're adults who are also working. Right. They're both will be working together. She'd be reading her script, playing the guitar. He'd be painting. That was fun. Mm-hmm. And they seem to be genuinely enjoying themselves, right, you know. And I also liked that they showed that a couple can go through, you know, they can have happy moments and this and that, but also have a lot of difficulties, which I appreciate a show showing that.
Mm-hmm.
This show did show it, showed a lot of it, mm-hmm. but I don't know how well they showed it. So this is kind of the part where it's very hard to explain. Partly, like, you know, what, you know, the question is, like, you know, what could they have done better?
Right.
I don't really know. 100%.
We can point out what we think was missing.
Yes.
But we're not sure how they would go about,
like, would that have
adding that in?
Right. Or would that have really helped?
Would that have helped? Would that have made us like it anymore?
I don't know. So, one of the things, we talked about this stuff quite a bit because we were just like, how do we word this? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But one of them was, we really, really wish that there had been more conversations between Ki-hyun and Mo-won, especially when Mo-won was really, really struggling, because they're in a very similar situation, that they're both two hearing people who are in a relationship with two deaf people,
right?
Deaf people. And that, I think, could have been really helpful for Mo-won, because I think one of the things Mo-won did was she extremely isolated herself.
She didn't talk to anybody.
Which really, really didn't. Really, like, one or two scenes where she didn't really wasn't helpful.
No.
She talked to Ki-hyun once and Jo-han once. We'll get back to that.
Yeah.
I think that was probably the biggest problem with their, one of the problems with their relationship, probably the biggest one coming from Mo-won's side, you could say, is that she, you know, it's okay to struggle.
Mm-hmm.
No one said this was sunshine and rainbows. No one said any relationship is sunshine and rainbows. But she kind of felt like she was isolating herself and wasn't trying to. And that is something that's hard to ask advice. But Ki-hyun is someone you could definitely ask advice.
And she knew that. Mm-hmm. He was in that kind of a position.
Yeah, and I think the conversation where she was talking to Ki-hyun, she was more asking about Junyu's past or something when that was it. But I think that could have potentially really helped her character, you know, come up with ways to help doing this or process it.
Maybe that was the point. Maybe that was the writer's point.
Right.
That she didn't seek help
or
and
she
advice
didn't know,
and didn't communicate.
Right, or didn't know how, like, she didn't know what to do and stuff like that, which is fair because she's never been in a relationship like this at all, you know. And I think, in some ways, I think that they could have been purposely showing that with her for sure.
But that, that for me was one of the reasons I didn't really like the leads, to be honest.
I feel like I've started quote-unquote disconnecting with Mo-won's character towards the end of the show.
I totally did. It was when she started,
you really hated this,
doing the internal struggle and not communicating with Junyu when she could have communicated with him
in some situation,
in some way.
There were in the last few episodes of the show, there were a lot of scenes where Mo-won was just either by herself crying or just sitting there in her room alone or, hold on here, let me finish.
Yes, good.
Or, you know, or this and that, which I think, yes, they did need those scenes to show where her character was in that moment.
Sure.
And that's fine. And I think, you know, that was the point of showing the audience that. But maybe it just, like, went on for too long. Maybe we don't like melodramas. I don't know. But it felt a little repetitive after a while.
I guess I figured, as the audience, I'm supposed to like the lead characters.
I never disliked her character.
I got tired of her, honestly. I got tired
of... I think you got tired of that point in their relationship. You got tired of seeing it, I guess you
could say. I got tired of seeing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I would say with Junu in particular, like kind of, you know, we said this a lot earlier, he was so hard to read as an audience member.
Yeah.
Made it very difficult sometimes to connect with him as a character.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which I like that they, for him, they gave us context for his backstory. They gave us some, you know, flashbacks. Yes, were they spread apart? Whatever. Mm-hmm. But we did have context. I think that definitely helped. And the parts where his character would be narrating, I really liked how they did that, and it showed his perspective really well. But because we got very little inner thoughts. I don't think we ever got inner thoughts of...
Except for those...
Actually, like, either of these characters, any of the characters, they almost never had inner thoughts.
Yeah.
Except for more the narration bit was kind of...
That would have helped.
Yeah.
Hearing Moon's struggles, even if she isolated herself and didn't talk to anybody else, hearing her talk to herself, basically, would have helped the audience.
A little bit. I think it definitely would. And yeah, and again, like going back to that conversation she had with Johan, I think what she was talking about to him was that she was wishing for something she knew she couldn't have.
Yeah.
Which I think, yes, that's a good conversation to have because that is a weird emotion. Like, I know I can't have this. Why am I wishing for it?
Right.
This is, you know, and...
That was a good question to ask.
Yeah. And unfortunately, there is no answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's the answer is that you're not wrong for feeling that way, but there's no way to, quote unquote, correct it or fix it.
Right. You
know?
You can't just turn that off.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I do wish we just saw that her, like, voicing it, be it, I don't care if she freaking writes it in her diary.
Sure.
Or,
yeah, that would
work. Or
we
hear inner thoughts, or maybe she talked to her roommate more. I think that would have helped us as the audience see Moon's perspective from her perspective.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I think that would have helped.
Instead of trying to figure out.
Right.
Okay, she's crying. What exactly is she
about? I knew the general of what she was crying about, but this could have been really specific.
Yeah.
But I don't know that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think with Junu, with his character, I think they definitely could have done more inner thoughts.
Yeah.
And that would have made sense to have that, you know? And like I said earlier, the point of his character is that he was very closed off and, you know, wasn't super emotional, like, visually, you could say. That was his character. His character was written to be that way. But something more would have really helped.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So. And then the very last thing is...
Was
the ending of the show. So. I can't decide. I don't mind the ending, but I do agree with a note that you said. So the ending was Mulan and Junu not running into each other again, but sort of after.
They meet after her play.
After her play. Mm-hmm. And they're like across the street. They replayed the like one of the first times they met.
Mm-hmm.
That was really good. And they, Junu, like, introduced himself again and, like, said, how are you doing, or something like that. Boom. I like it. That was fun. They reconnected.
Drop the curtain there.
Oh, my gosh. And then, I think this was actually during the credits, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They showed the two of them walking down, like, the railroad tracks together.
Right.
They're obviously dating. So, hold on here.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get back to you here.
Yeah, fine.
Is that... I think it's 100% safe to assume that if they didn't have that credit scene with them, you know, obviously dating, as an audience, I would assume, oh, they got back together. I assume that, even if they don't show it. But you in particular wish they didn't show it, but didn't have that last
one. Right. What changed? You know, this, they're going to be up against the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to have the same struggles. nothing has changed.
Well, but, we don't know
but
that.
But it's been a whole year, and they missed
actually,
each other.
More than a year?
I don't
remember. Actually, at least a year. Yeah, it was at least a year because they had a year jump, but they was longer than
so that. It's fine that, I mean, okay, so they're going to try again.
Sure. But see, the thing is that it's been over a year. They've lived their lives separately while obviously missing each other. And this time they could go into it with the perspective of, this is what we had trouble the first time. We should actively try to work through this together. Mm-hmm. I think that could be an angle they could go at it with, you know. Is that necessarily healthy? I don't know. Their relationship, it was rough.
Right.
But
I tend not to like ambiguous endings.
Yeah, you tend to hate them.
But I would have rather it stopped with them
running into each other.
Saying,
hello.
Hello, how are you? Long time no see. Mm-hmm. And that would have been the end. Then you as the viewer can decide. Mm-hmm. I can decide they're friends. I can decide they're dating. Yeah. I can decide they aren't in each other's lives anymore. Mm-hmm. But because they had that extra scene at the end, I couldn't decide that.
Sure, which is funny.
They decided for me.
Oh, sure. Which is funny because me and you, especially you, both of us,
right,
usually hate
endings
like that.
Like, I would have preferred that for this show.
Which is funny. Which is very interesting. Yeah. Overall, you can tell by the end of the show, we weren't really enjoying it. Which, right. I mean, it's hard to say with other shows as well. Like, you know, a really sad or really serious show that you enjoyed watching it. But it is true. Like, you still, like, you know, it's like, it's hard to feel like, oh, I really enjoyed watching this World War II movie. Like,
it's like saying, like, oh,
you know what I mean?
Tomorrow, I loved that show.
No, I would totally. No,
it's so
I
serious.
I'm saying, like, not love. I think more saying you're enjoying watching it.
Oh, enjoying? It. Yeah, it's like enjoying watching a show about World War II.
Two or something. Exactly.
Concentration camps or something.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's a hard thing to say that you enjoyed it, you know. But by the end of the show, we were not enjoying it
at all.
Which is, you know, I think one thing this drama, they took a very different perspective of showing okay, so K-dramas do this. We absolutely hate it. Not just K-dramas, a lot of Japanese use too, where takes however many episodes to build up to this couple being together. Boom. This is why, Shoujo? Is that the girl?
Yes.
Yeah. Shoujo. This is why Shoujo anime ends there, is because it's really difficult sometimes to continue the plot. Because the whole plot is about them getting together.
Right. They're dating. Now what do you do with them?
A few do it well, I will say.
Now you have to have problems and issues.
Right. So I think there was like a particular Chinese one that we probably talked about at one point in the podcast that did this as well. That it was, you know, they were dating for a little bit. Okay, fun, interesting, cool. Then they have, a misunderstanding. But it was really stupid. Like elementary school kids stupid. Like a freaking elementary school student could go to each other and be like, yo, let's fix this.
Yeah.
But they couldn't as freaking 23-year-olds. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Like, and yes, that is what you get in a lot of rom-coms, stuff like that. These, I would say, in this show, they did a good job of showing either a misunderstanding. It was actually more of a struggle in this show or something like that. But actually, I think was realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like that they show that, but I don't know. It was just it was kind of sad to watch. I think it was kind of some point, you know. I'm glad that they didn't bring in these stupid misunderstandings or stupid plot points like that once they started dating. Mm-hmm. I think it was really good. They actually went more of a realistic route with it. I think that was good.
I would have been happy with a breakup and not being together as an ending, because that would have been realistic.
It would have been really
stick with the realism.
It would have been really depressing.
It would have been. But
I think people getting back together, like, happens all the time though. Like, people who broke up and then got back, that happens. Like,
okay,
a lot of people do that. Most of the time, it doesn't work out in the end, though. 99%.
You know. There's a reason you broke up.
Sure.
You know.
But, you know. Yeah, I won't get into that. But, yeah. So, yeah. There's mixed feelings. I think, you know, the show's well done, well produced. It still has an interesting storyline, but just didn't quite stick the landing,
are melodramas our thing? Probably not.
Yeah, can someone tell us, was this just like kind of a meh melodrama? Or is this
typical for a melodrama?
I don't know. I guess, okay. So
see, when I think melodrama, I think...
I think Chable.
Chable, backstabbing, yeah. Plotting,
which
scheming.
We also don't watch. But what's that one show? Oh, shoot. It went on for like 2-3 seasons. Oh my gosh, it's going to annoy me so bad. Wait. But yeah.
Same idea. It was the Chable.
Or the other side of melodrama stuff, which is the historical stuff.
Well, see, historical melodramas, I guess they work for me better because what else are you going to do?
Yeah, well, most of the time,
Most of the time, that's what the whole story is about anyway, is the palace intrigues.
Yeah, I can't find what show I'm thinking of, which is fine. I always reference it, but I've never seen it.
Yeah.
I don't know what... Sky Castle.
Oh, and that was extremely popular, too.
Was Sky Castle a melodrama? I don't know. Maybe it's not. They just call it a drama. Oh, okay. So, I don't know. Maybe... That's more of a, what's the word? Mystery family and drama. It's more drama. It's not melodrama. Okay. There's a huge difference there. Like, not morning TV, but like kind. Actually, okay, this is what Wikipedia lists Sky Castle as: satire. What's a satire?
You're kind of making fun of something. Wait a minute. Okay. Melodrama. A sensational dramatic piece with exaggerated characters and exciting events intended to appeal to the emotions.
Really? That's not... Really?
Really?
I guess I think of two... I think of melodramas as, like, two different sides. Either that or the more, like, realistic sad.
Yeah. In simple words, it is a story or play in which there are a lot of exciting or sad events and in which people's emotions are very exaggerated.
Exaggerated?
Huh. I didn't feel like they exaggerated their emotions.
It's a good thing. Okay, so Wikipedia... lists it, Sky Castle, as a satire, black comedy, family, mystery, psychological
drama. Goodness, that's a lot of stuff.
So, I guess it's more of a drama. Maybe it's not a melodrama? I don't know, because it's not over the top.
So, satire is a use of humor, irony, exaggeration, or ridicule to expose and criticize...
Oh, I could kind of see
things.
That.
Often political topics.
Okay, and again, over the top.
Oh, okay,
yeah. Maybe. I've only seen clips of Sky Castle, so I don't know. But, yeah, like, what would be the most melodrama of historical that we've seen?
The Red Sleeve, maybe?
Crown Clown, maybe? Yeah. Do those count?
Do they count as a melodrama?
Let's see. If I search, let's see. Crown Clown. Is it? I don't know. What do they come up with? Okay, yeah. They say historical romance melodrama. Oh, okay.
The Red Sleeve, they just say it's a romance.
Well, that's not helpful. But, oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah. I would say for... melodrama is like as an umbrella, as an overall. We have seen more that are historical that I would count.
Yeah.
Most like modern day set dramas, I don't know. I don't think we avoid them. I think there are a lot less of them than like obviously like a rom com, which is like the main genre, you know?
Yeah. But,
I don't know. So, what were you looking at? What?
Didn't we watch that?
What did we watch? Just ask me. I should be able to tell you.
20th Century Girl.
No. There's a drama called that. We watched the movie. I think there might be a drama called that. No. It's called, like, 20th Century Boy and Girl or something like that. 20th Century There's one Girl. Here,
20th Century Girl. They're listing it as a melodrama.
Whatever. Okay, apparently we don't know what a melodrama is.
We don't know what a melodrama is.
Well, we think this one is. That's all we know. Right. Okay, so we hope you guys got anything out of this ramble. And we'll see you all next time.